cool episode of Mystery Crate for you. Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Ryan. I've got Mina Kimes joining me on this episode of Mystery Crate. I think you're going to enjoy it. Diehard fans of our show know that Mina is terrible at accents. She thinks she's good, but she is, in fact, dreadful. So Mina and I thought it would be funny if we brought on a legitimate dialect coach. That's right. A vocal coach to teach Mina Kimes exactly how to do some of these accents. We had a really good time. And if you want to give her dialect coach a follow, follow him on Twitter at @dialectcoachcl. Chris Lang is his name, and he was spectacular and patient and a great coach, I think. Highest endorsement, because I really feel like we turned a corner in regards to Mina being able to do impressions.
Those passionate fans of the Le Batard Show know that when Mina Kimes joins the show, it's always interesting, and she fancies herself a vocal artist, a talented master of accents, and as you know, she is full of it. She's terrible at all sorts of accents. That does not stop her from attempting. So we brought in the big guns. Dialect coach to the stars, Chris Lang, is joining us on this very special edition of Mystery Crate. The whole point of this is to get Mina better. Chris, thank you so much for doing this. Are you ready to do the coaching job of your life? Because you are going to need to, because Mina is as terrible as advertised.
I was born ready. This is why I became an accent coach, is to help voice actors in need. And I'm here.
Chris, before we start, have you heard any of my accents before?
Indeed, I have. Not only have I listened to your voice and seen you a few times, but in preparation for this, I definitely went on YouTube and did a deep dive into some of your let's call them attempts at some of these accents, and just to see what's out there. It's what I would do with any actor that I would work with. I want to know your voice to begin with, so we kind of know where we're starting and kind of what you've got and bring to the party already.
I totally get it. Yeah, as an NFL analyst, I relate. You were grinding my tape. And you know, you probably saw a player with a lot of potential, the tools, the raw talent. Maybe hasn't put it all together, but you are the coach who's going to do just that.
Absolutely. And I love that you use that word, that series of words to describe, because there is a lot of raw talent. There is a lot of good attitude. If there's one thing that I loved that I'm excited to jump in with here, is that you are fearless. You just go for it. And that's actually one of the things we really need to be successful with in accents, is the ability to speak with a different kind of voice. Just got to go for it. You're going to feel silly. You're going to feel like it doesn't quite fit on you at first. But the more you sit with it, the more you learn the accent, the more it sort of integrates itself into your actual speech. So you go for it. And I love how you jump in with both feet. Now we just need to manage that jump. You need to manage how we jump.
Yes. Yes.
This is very exciting, because Mina is delighted and eager to be coached. She knows that she has some deficiencies. Not at first, though. She was lacking in self-awareness, because she thought she killed it every time she did an accent on our show. And I believe it was when she tried to do a New England accent that we thought she was trying to do an Australian accent for 10 minutes that we decided, yeah, maybe she needs some help in this department. So Chris Lang, dialect coach. By the way, if you're interested in getting some dialect coaching, go to dialectcoachchrislang.com. He snagged up that web handle. So go and support Chris Lang, who is an eager coach, who's done a lot of research here. I mean, I did not send Chris any of your tape. I sort of wanted to surprise him, but he came prepared.
I'm glad, honestly, because I didn't want to see his face when I first attempted it, you know? So it's good that he has some background. And look, I want to be clear. I have been confident in the past, but I do recognize that, you know, even Julio Jones needs coaching. So I'm ready to take my game from an A- to an A+.
All right. So we want to be at the top level. Gold medal winning level is what we're after,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Chris, you're going to have to make up a lot more ground than A- to A+. I'm just telling you right now. For the uninitiated, Mina, there are three key accents that I've heard from Mina so far on the show. There is an evil witch.
Witch. It's a witch.
It's a witch. It's certainly evil. Yes. Considering the threat. So that's going to influence something along the lines of what we're going for here. It's an evil witch from, let's just say, Salem. Or is it medieval times?
Yeah, it's part of Roy's realm. And the reason, Chris, I innovated the character of the evil witch is because I couldn't do the like standard medieval accents that Mike and Roy, and, well, not Roy, let's be real, but Chris and Billy were doing. So I felt like I desperately wanted to participate. So I came up with the evil witch.
For the audience and Chris, I don't know if you've heard this yet. Mina, go ahead and give us an example of your medieval witch and show Chris exactly how fearless you are.
Okay. And I apologize for the faces that you're about to see.
She's a method actor.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, I feel so nervous right now. All right. No, let me finish. King Roy? Where's the princess? I came very hungry today.
So as you can see, Chris, it's objectively terrible. And she can't even get through it, which is another hill she has to climb in regards to her impressions.
But if I was better, I feel like I would be able to get through it.
Right. So your first impressions when you hear her evil medieval witch.
Well, so I'm going to guess that we're going after a British accent, right?
Yes.
And that one, yeah, for sure. And not only we're doing an accent, but we are doing what I would describe as an idiolect, which is this like a unique, specific form of accent that's unique to one person in particular. And so this is like a version of this British accent that is unique to this witch character. So it's a character voice on top of an accent, which is, I think, should, if anything, give us more permission to dive into the accent. Because it's a character that we're playing. We're not doing sort of Mina as a British person. We're doing this witch with this British accent. So I'm on board. One of the things that I can tell you right away is that you already have a few of the sounds in place for this accent. All right. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but a lot of British accents tend not to pronounce their R sounds in the same way we here in America do. So, for instance, we'll say birthday versus birthday. Right?
Wow. Okay. That voice came out of you.
Birthday? That was great. Did you just hear that? I'm already learning. Okay.
The other thing that we want to do is make sure that we are listening at a high, high level to the sounds we think we want to hit, because our brains have this kind of weird ability to sift through different forms of English. Our brains want to categorize things for us like this, but we need to be active in how we listen. I have a colleague who likes to call this professional listening. Need to listen at a professional level so that we can really differentiate a couple of sounds for ourselves. So I'm gonna write a word down, and I would like you to say this word just in your own accent, your native preferred accent.
Which is complicated enough because she's moved around a lot, and I can't get a read on. How would you describe your natural accent, Mina?
I'm often told it has Canadian like tendencies, but it's flat. And Chris, I was a military brat, so I lived in a zillion different places. I think it might be a product of that.
For sure. You know, our past history creates our accent. You know, from the day you're born until today, that entire history shapes how you speak. Usually get your first accent around 5 years old from your parents or the adults who teach you how to speak. You develop another one around puberty when you get an identity of your own and don't want to be like your folks so much anymore. And then it just grows and melds over time. Listening to you, I get a more kind of a general American accent, which means it's an American accent that's really lacking local features or demographic features. It lets me know you're from America, but not really where in America you might be from.
I like it. I'm guessing.
All right. So I'm going to have you pronounce, just say this word I'm going to show you in your native accent. All right. And then we're going to target it in this British accent for the witch.
Thought.
All right. Again.
Right, you know what I would say. All right, just say it. Thought. Just
like five times in a row.
We don't need to resort to name calling here, Chris.
Thought.
Okay. Listen to what sound you're making. All right, and see if you can get aware of it. And then also, can you tell what your mouth is doing to make that sound? Maybe ask yourself, are my lips rounded or unrounded?
Thought.
Is my tongue high or low?
My tongue's definitely high. It's hitting the roof of my mouth and then dropping really quickly.
Okay.
Thought. Mm-hmm.
So on that vowel sound in particular, is it still high or is it lower then?
Thought. No, it comes down.
Yeah. Okay. So it's lower on that ah sound. All right. Mm-hmm. Are your lips rounded or unrounded, would you say?
You guys can see them. Tell me.
Well, this is a podcast, Mina. Describe. Okay. Like, Chris has a better idea of what we're doing than you do.
Yeah. All right. Thought.
Let me kind of
more like a flapping Kermit.
Yeah. So if I was
way to paint a vivid picture right there, Mina.
Thought. Would you describe this as rounded or unrounded? Thought.
Unrounded?
Yeah, mostly unrounded.
It looks flat on top.
Welcome to America. We don't round our lips a ton here. The British accent that we're after has a lot more lip rounding. We're going to go for thought.
Wow. Oh, wow. The light bulb just went off for Mina.
Okay. So should I try it a British accent, do the whole lip thing? Mm-hmm. Thought.
Good. Thought. And now go even further with it and just keep the lips round and go thought. And just only unround when you get to that T at the end.
Thought.
That's it.
Wow.
Thought. Oh, I turned into something else.
Great. So what you bumped into here was that we also possess this in a couple American accents, all right? So if we were going north up to Boston and New England, all right?
Oh, thought, now you're in my territory.
I round my lips again. We still round our lips. Thought. You go, thought. But then we unround them while we're still making sound. So we get or thought.
Thought.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing.
And if you keep them rounded, we stay in England. Thought.
Thought.
Wow. There you go. All right, Chris is teaching us a lot right now. I would have never thought that vocal talent really started with the lips.
But you never would have thought. Just trying to practice, yeah.
No, that's well done. So can we extrapolate this out over a longer string of words? Perhaps the witch can indeed apply some of this?
So let me describe to you, because broadly you're going to have an alignment, if you will, of your vocal tract. Let's say from your nose on down to the bottom of your throat. This is your vocal tract. It has a posture, just like your body has posture. You can sit up tall and slouch. So your vocal tract also has a habitual series of like tensions, releases, joint alignments. And these are what in large part make your accent sound the way they sound. Mostly here in America, released low jaw, unrounded lips, flat low tongue, kind of things like that. For our target accent here, this British accent, we're going to be looking for lips that round more, kind of move in this direction sideways and to the center. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a jaw that is higher and, wait for it, protruded. So can you send your jaw forward like a bulldog?
Yeah. Okay, right, I get it.
That's a lot of protrusion. We don't need that much. We need like 10% of that. Cool. Just a little bit.
Yeah, you were like Sling Blade there.
Yeah, exactly, right? But Southern American accents also include jaw protrusion like this.
Whoa!
They are the great-great-grandchildren of British accents and Irish accents and Scottish accents.
So it's all about how you move your mouth.
It is. It really is.
And your chin.
Physical experience of your entire vocal tract. So I'm fond of saying it this way. When we do accents, we kind of have to listen with our mouth.
Got it. Yes.
You have to have this dual sensory experience of hearing and feeling at the same time. So you have to listen with your mouth. So I'm going to give you a couple of sentences to say here with this, I will call this vocal tract or oral posture. So do this with me. We'll just put the posture on real quick and just send your jaw forward a little bit. Widen your lip corners just a tiny bit, and this half kind of smile. Right? And then feel your tongue inside your mouth lift up a little bit higher.
Okay. I already sound British.
You're on your way there. This is the basis for how these sounds come out of your mouth.
Got it.
Repeat after me in terms of this. I would like you to say the following, and I will use your name. Hi, my name is Mina.
Hi, my name is Nina. Oh, no.
No, that's great, actually. That's really good.
You know, Mike Ryan, you're not helping right now. Okay.
Well, I'm here for support.
Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm laughing in the shadows.
Yeah, I could use a little more oral posture from you right now.
Okay. Well, it fell apart when he said your name, oddly enough, I thought.
Well, and that's actually a very usual thing to happen. That's why one of the reasons I asked you to say your name, because we're used to saying our names as ourselves. And if we learn to speak about our own identity in this other accent, we actually can trick our brains into doing it more easily. Mm-hmm. So let's try this again, shall we? Hi, my name is Mina.
Hoi, my name is Mina.
Very nice. And one of the things that I've noticed is that you are rounding your lips, which is wonderful. And you're also rounding them on this first word, hi. Mm-hmm. Hi. And we're getting this, hi. Hi, my name is Mina. Now, this is a version of a British accent for sure. We can have these rounded lips or rather more unrounded lips. There's a huge spectrum to how these accents actually are realized in the real world. And so you are, when you round your lips, we're getting, historically at least, progressively less posh.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So the more rounded your lips become, the more we go towards a Cockney sound, right?
Chris, the witch is hardly posh. think about the character.
I like this.
I mean, it's not sounding as witchy as it used to. Certainly not as evil.
So we haven't thrown the grit into the mix. Yeah.
We're going to fold this accent then on top of this character voice, all right?
Okay.
Now, rather than saying, hi, my name is Mina, does your witch have a name, by the way?
It's just the witch.
So, hi, I'm the witch, and what's your witch's favorite food?
Princess Claire.
Yeah.
Specifically Princess Claire.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So, hi, my name is the witch, and my favorite food is, that's what I want you to say.
My favorite food is.
So, don't worry about the sounds that are coming out of your face. Worry about what it feels like to move your jaw forward.
Got it.
Have your tongue sitting up a little higher in your mouth, and the lips being able to round pretty aggressively. Give it your best shot here, man.
With none of the witch grit.
Not quite yet. We'll add that in next.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's layers to the character. Yeah. You know, it's like, all right. Hi, I do it instinctively. Okay.
This is great. Add it in there if you want. Yeah.
Okay. Hi, my name is the witch. My favorite food is Princess Claire.
Good. So that's great. So Princess Claire.
Princess Claire.
That's it. Try it again from the top. Hi, my name is the witch, and my favorite food is Princess Claire.
Hi, my name is the witch, and my favorite food is Princess Claire.
That's pretty darn good.
That's pretty good.
Was it?
It's good. It's a reimagining of the witch. I just keep comparing it to how evil and witchy the previous one sound. But in terms of actually nailing a region, this is a lot better, Chris.
Thank you. Can we do it once more? Can we just turn up the witchiness to 11 now? Just go for it. Dive in, fearless, the whole thing. You've got this, Mina. I believe in you.
Hi, my name is the witch. that was bad.
That's an improvement.
My name is the witch, and my favorite food is Princess Claire.
Wow. Yes. That's incredible, Mina.
You
sound inauthentic.
Short period of time here, like you've taken on a bunch of the features of this accent. Have we mastered the accent? No, we're not there yet. No. There's still lots of detail work we can do, but you have proved, hopefully to every listener out there and to yourself, this is just a skill that you can learn like anything else.
Yeah,
Tom Brady didn't throw footballs like Tom Brady all the time. He had to learn how to do that, right?
You
could be the Tom Brady of accents.
I didn't want to say it, but you just said it, and yeah, I fully agree.
Now, Chris, like anything, this is going to take practice for Mina. She has to remember her training and continue to work on it and harness it, and pretty soon she'll be the best witch this side of Middle Earth.
Absolutely. 100% she can be, and especially if she works with a coach consistently over long term.
Well, I'll make sure to give her your contact information, and I've taken the liberty of signing Mina up for several weekly classes to make sure that she can improve. Let's move over to the other trademark Mina accent. She's really unleashed this, and it's funny that you brought Tom Brady into this. A pro in the podcast game already leading me to my next transition, the New England accent, specifically the Boston accent. Mina, if you could indulge, Mr. Chris Lang and our audience on your Boston accent.
All right. All right. What should I say right now in my, in Chris, this accent, if the other one was an A minus, this is already an A, but you know, I, like I said, I can get A plus, but I'm just, you know, hey, yo, wicked pisser, throw some tea into the harbor. Let's go to Harvard Yard and park the car.
Okay. All right. I like what I'm hearing. Again, jumped right into it fearlessly, and you already do possess a lot of the features of this accent.
Great.
Right? Incredible. As it turns out, you know.
Mission accomplished.
Wait, Chris, can we get your overall grade for what you just heard from Mina?
This isn't about grade.
It's hard for me to really say this, but I would say that that she's further ahead than I would have thought was going to be the case.
Wow.
Oh, thought. He brought it back.
Yeah.
It's thought, listen, right?
You know, I'm the man in the arena. A lot of critics. I don't remember the exact
crowd
quote.
Crowd noise.
Eddie Roosevelt, right? Quote. But yeah, I'm playing the game. I'm in there with the Lions. Again, I don't remember the quote, but the substance of it is that you can't really criticize me.
Not that I want to press you on a grade. It's just I'm trying to grasp for myself and the audience exactly how far Mina has to go. Given what you just heard, what tips do you have for her to specifically work on
this? Shut the f*** up.
Jesus Christ, Mina. How can she improve?
Yeah, so I would focus on the oral posture features of this accent again. All right? And because that's going to allow 90% of these sounds of this accent to sort of come into being. So it's going to be a few sounds that we have to tinker with because we're sort of battling against your own accent's muscle memory in a lot of ways. But yeah, the oral posture is going to be the biggest thing that kind of helps us along because you have an understanding, Mina, already of these sounds. Park the car, Harvard Yard. Like that's one of the key, I would call it the magnet sounds of this accent. Draws every other sound towards it, right? The fact that you drop the R's. All right. This is also a non-rhotic accent, just like the British one was, where we dropped the R's.
Rhotic, is that what we're doing with our lips?
Yeah. So rhotic, all right, that's a fancy linguistic word, rhoticity, which means R-ishness, that which we perceive as R.
R-ishness.
Yeah. And rhotic. So for us as Americans, most of our accents are rhotic, meaning we go R. Right? But we do have accents that are non-rhotic, meaning we say park instead of park. Right? The same thing. The British was non-rhotic. It didn't pronounce the R's, right? I threw that word out there without thinking that you guys, like, I was like,
you blew our minds. No, we love it.
I love learning this. I love crosswords. This is great information. So Americans use R's big time, but then non-rhotic accents, you might call them rhoticity chickens because they're afraid.
Exactly. You're not the first to make that joke, but I welcome you to the party with that joke. That's a great joke.
All right. I'm ready. So if I was hearing correctly, I'm 95% of the way to a perfect Boston accent, but the remaining 5% is my oral posture. So what should I do with my face, Chris?
All right. So when we're talking about a Boston accent, we're also talking about a little more jaw protrusion.
Yeah.
Right. More?
Like just 5%. I would say 5% from where you are.
Oh, all right.
Right? Okay. And then I want you to think of this upper lip as just like somebody's taking a fish hook and just lifted it up a tiny bit. Just a little bit so I can see your teeth there. All right?
So like you kind of are giving like the Bubba from Forrest Gump look right
just,
now.
Just a little. Except that's your lower lip down there, right?
Teeth out, jaw out.
Just all a little bit. Right? And when we round our lips in this accent, we want to think about it as an open type rounding. All right. So, for instance, I'm going to give you another word to say here.
Okay.
And I'll misspell it, so I'll write it again here.
Matt Damon. Does he look like this?
That word.
All right. North.
Yeah. North. So you can see how
north.
Like when you would say this in your accent, you'd go north, and you'd probably round your lips quite a bit.
In my normal voice, yeah, north.
North, right? When we do it in this accent, north.
North.
All right? North. We open up that rounding quite a bit. So part of the oral posture in this accent features more open-type lip rounding. Mm-hmm. And the lips are kind of fluid as well, because as we found out in words like thought, or we get that kind of fluid or movement. I thought it was in the north.
I thought it was in the north.
Very good. Now round just a little bit more on thought. So I thought it was in the north.
I thought it was in the north.
Yeah, there you go.
I sound like Ben Affleck.
The north part of Harvard Yard, right?
I parked the car at Harvard Yard.
Yeah, that's very good, actually.
It doesn't sound Australian, so it's an immediate improvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People can't see, but I just pantomimed myself hitting a home run.
Yeah. Right. Way down Yawkey Way.
The big green monster flew right over.
Chris. All right, what else should I say in my new Boston accent?
How do you like them apples?
Ooh, a classic, iconic line. All right. Imagine me pulling up to the bar in Southie. I write down the number on a napkin. I smash it to the window, and I say, "How do you like them apples?" Now, see,
I was almost there, but let's try this. So how we need that? Watch my lips on this; they kind of go wide and then narrow. How in my own accent, yours do this. So what we're looking for is how do you like?
How do you like them apples?
There you go.
How do you like them apples?
Perfect. Chris, this is sounding a little country western. I mean, you're the dialect coach, but it feels like she's kind of losing it a little bit.
So, well, if we were going to, how do you like them apples for sure, right?
You are a man of so many talents.
Southern accent. Maybe I should add that to my repertoire.
If you'd like one, there's lots of wonderful, beautiful Southern accents that are available to you. We can show you something from the back. We can take some models out and...
Can you teach her an accent on the fly? Because
let's see that.
Sure. Yeah. One of my favorite accents to do in this world is a West Texas accent, near and dear to my heart because my mother's side of the family is from Lubbock. And so I grew up hearing my grandmother speak this accent a little bit. So let me give you the oral posture features of this. Jaw protrusion, if you can believe it. All right. Now I want you to think of these lip corners here moving pretty wide. All right. Kind of like a fake smile, but like real wide.
I want you to feel
your tongue turn into a pancake.
Got it.
And spread your tongue. And then the very back of it, I want to see if that can go lift up and get real high in your mouth.
All right.
There it is. And she's in, all right. Okay.
All right.
There it is. All right. So this is the basis for your West Texas accent right here. And if you see my lips, they don't round at all in this accent.
My lips are as flat as anything.
Yeah, that's right. You say, "Hi, my name is Mina, and I love me some football on a Sunday."
Hi, my name is Mina, and I love me some football on a Sunday.
Wow! Chris!
Is that my best accent yet?
Yes! I think so. You just learned this one on the fly.
Learned it on the fly.
That's it right there.
And people can't see me. The visual, my teeth are like gritted, my mouth is flat, I've pulled it wide, I have kept my tongue high and flat,
physical
stuff is just muscle memory, Mina, and once you learn the muscle memory of all of this stuff, you can snap into the accents in an instant because you remember what it felt like to do the accent.
Just muscle memory, like anything else we do that's physical.
Obviously there's more detail we can go into, and in real life, if we're working on an accent for a project or something, we would want to use a real human being as our model to see what they're doing and make sure we're copying that because we want to be authentic. But that was great, Mina. I'm a proud accent coach right now.
I appreciate that. I love Texas football. Pass the damn ball.
I love it.
This is incredible. We are running out of time real quick. One of the things that Mina runs into a lot is often when she's filling in on First Take, she has to give impassioned takes. Do you run the risk when you bring in emotion of losing some of your training? How can she control that? And I would like for this to end with Mina giving a fiery take in what you have ruled her best accent through the short time we've been together.
Great. Okay. Yes. So you're absolutely right, Mike. When we get emotional and there's psychological frenzy and the stakes are high, we tend to revert to our own accent. And the reason this is because that's the easiest way for us to communicate. It's the most efficient pathway for communication of any sort. And so when we put an accent on, we have to strive to make it a viable pathway of communication too. And the way that I like to think about this is what we've just done, the physical side of it. So if you can allow that new physicality, and I want to go for this Texas accent. I'm excited this one happened.
Yes, I agree. This is incredible.
So if you can allow this feeling of those lips being real wide, that jaw being forward, and that tongue being real high, if you can let those physical features show you you their version of what you would usually do when you get excited can be as satisfying as what you would usually do. That's what I'm after there.
Oh, this is incredible. Mina, all right, now he's your dialect coach. I will be your take coach. What is a passionate take that this new character that you're discovering here would have? Is it about paying Dak Prescott?
I was just about to say that.
All right.
Because I'm like a Cowboys fan, and I'm angry that my team hasn't paid their quarterback. And yeah, so that I'm fired up. Chris, I just can't – thank you so much for the instruction. But more importantly, thank you for the praise. Because anyone who knows me knows there is nothing I love more than a teacher praising me. And I haven't had that in so long. And it's so validating because nobody gives me grades anymore. And I miss it. I miss getting grades. I really do. I miss that
100. All of this makes sense. An A-plus grade from Chris Lang. Let's just have her clear the final hurdle here because the emotion is difficult. Right. There are many actors and actresses that go to film and they have an accent, and when they get into a fiery scene, they lose it and it jumps out on the screen. This is true mastery.
All right,
here we go.
All right. You mean to tell me that you can pay your off-ball running linebacker, your running back, you can hand out all these big contracts, but you can't even pay your quarterback, the person who has been unpaid for years, who will deliver this team to the playoffs, one Jared Jones, the richest man in Texas, cannot pay Dak Prescott? Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me right now?
Wow. All right.
Now, wow. A plus.
My heart is beating so fast.
Mina, that was incredible. I can't wait for you to hear this. In fact, I think you should do this accent all the time.
Should on your show?
Just,
is that an invitation?
This is you now.
You can't take that back? You can't take that back?
Okay, Mina Kimes will now just, I can't wait for you to unleash this on an unsuspecting Dan and Stu Gatz. Because we found you a new accent. We came here to improve your other characters, and we leave here with possibly your best one. Chris Lang, dialect coach. Now to the stars. I can't thank you enough. Dialectcoachchrislang.com. Check him out. If he can help Mina, he can help anybody. Mina, thank you for being a good sport and being so coachable.
My heart is full.
Special shout out to Mina Kimes for being so kind. She is so busy. I mean, she is producing podcast content left and right. Make sure to support her podcast properties. Of course, ESPN Daily, but we all favor the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny because it's a top-notch football podcast and it is indeed part of the Levitard and Friends family. So make sure to check that out and support Mina, as I know you're coming to this pod because you're a Mina fan, as am I, as is Chris Lang. You can't help but love Mina Kimes, and I can't thank her enough for taking so much interest in what we're doing, because she doesn't have to do that. She's super busy. All right. Mystery Crate is sort of finding its footing. I really like what's happening lately with the shipping containers sort of following their own passions. Everybody sort of has a series under the Mystery Crate umbrella. Make sure to check out Billy's MTV The Challenge recap podcast. It's excellent. Roy and Chris have a parenting podcast. I love it. I love the name Dad Pod. The last one with Randy Scott was a bit emotional and touching. So make sure to support the Mystery Crate. Subscribe, rate, review. We'll be back at you next week. Thanks again. Hope you have a good weekend.